Hi, I'm George Poulter, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley.
Episode 27 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast.
Proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello, everyone.
And Cookie's with us.
Hi, guys.
We've got a bit of a busy one this week. We've got interviews with... Oh, no, actually, excuse that. You're supposed to say what's coming up on the show, aren't you?
We are indeed. So let's kick that off. We're going to look at last week's win against Maidstone.
We're going to discuss the academy trials and a job advert.
I caught up with Neil Smith on a few of those things.
I caught up with Adam Mecky.
We're going to have a chat about soccer camp and how that's gone at the club this week.
Matt, you also managed to catch up with Mark Anthony.
I did indeed. And then we are going to look ahead to tomorrow's match against Hartlepool.
Including the game, how many you reckon?
How many you reckon? Yeah, I like that one.
Smooth, brilliant. Obviously, we're going to start with last Saturday, Bromley at home to Maidstone United, Kent Derby, etc. We were hoping for one of our bigger crowds of the season. And I think, Matt, that was our largest league crowd of the season, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? It was almost 400 above that of Barrow, which was non-league day. I think Barrow's about 2,200, and obviously we were very close to 2,600 this time, which was a fantastic effort. We, as we spoke about on the last podcast, obviously put a lot of effort into getting tickets into schools and things like that, and promoting the club around the borough. So it was really nice to see that pay off, and it was a great atmosphere overall as well, I felt, and what a fantastic game. So all round, very, very positive.
That's a brilliant cookie. Obviously, I think that crowd takes our average for the season over 1,500, which is brilliant. But obviously, an eventful Maidstone brought a fair few.
Yeah, it does indeed. We was anticipating sort of like the 400-500s and. Speaking to their safety officer and the police before, was obviously the same figures to last year, and 630 support for a team that's what, second from bottom, absolutely unbelievable.
But like you say, obviously biggest league crowd of the season. Yes. Absolutely fantastic. And I hate to say it, you tend to think probably rewired previously to this year. When we put in a great crowd, whether it's been non-league day or other big fixtures in the past, there's always that tendency of. Okay, are we going to turn up on the pitch as well?
Yeah.
But more recently, that's actually not been the case. And again, Saturday was another one of those examples. Absolutely fantastic performance. The first 45 minutes, where everyone was saying, was absolutely fantastic.
I saw absolutely nothing at the game. So, Matt, I think you're best to summarise the game on this one.
I really thought you were going to wing it there, Cookie. I expected better of you.
1-2-0. I couldn't even tell you the goal scorers.
Well, yeah, it was really... you know, Jeff, when you say it was a fantastic performance, you know, that's really an understatement. It was outstanding from start to finish, really. The first half, some of the football we played, we won 1-0 up at half-time, obviously. I think it could easily have been 3, maybe 4, and no one would have been able to complain. It was a really, really one-sided game. We did have a fair few chances early on, and the first goal came just after the half-hour mark, and that was JJ Hooper keeping up his recent fantastic form. And the second half was more of the same, really, and until the final few minutes that Maidstone tried to throw a bit more forward. They were very direct, and it didn't really work out.
Yeah, obviously, I'm not one to sort of comment publicly on other clubs all the time, etc., but I must admit, you have to, obviously, where their current league position is, and obviously I know they made their changes in managers, etc., players, etc., but they're definitely in it, aren't they?
That's their fourth management team of the season. Yeah, of the season, you know, and they've had Jay obviously there for so many years. They've had that stability, and they just don't have that now.
It's not just the manager changes and staff changes. It's the actual, it's the players, the high turnover of players as well, isn't it?
Incredible. And where are they? Sick of a bottle, aren't
they?
John Steele's.
Yeah, they lost against Halifax, who are, you know, in a similar, or not quite so low down, but Halifax were fighting it out. That's their first league win of 2019, Halifax. Maidstone haven't won at home since the 16th of August.
No, well, what will be. Obviously, moving back to Bromley, we've busy start to the week. We're going to cut to the academy very briefly because they've had their girls and boys football trials this week. I think again, amazing numbers. This is for next year's cohort, isn't it? From September, I think in total we've got around 100 scholars that they're recruiting, I believe, with a natural drop-off, I think, of 70-odd that are second years have finished, etc. And those trials took place this week. And, yeah, like I said, we've had two days of boys' trials. We had a day of girls' trials. It's amazing. I think as of next year, we're going to have 40 or 50 girls' scholars.
That's incredible,
isn't
it?
Which is absolutely, yeah, I mean, beyond recognition, the whole academy from 2, 3, 4 years ago. Hammo and everyone obviously doing a fantastic job. And just briefly on that, because you said about the job advert, they're actually after a head of, are they recruiting a head of girls' academy?
Yeah, someone.
I mean, purely because of the scale of it and how it's grown at the moment. I've got to say this because Sue's pestered me. She sent me this the other day to post online. I need to do it. But they're currently recruiting for head of girls academy coaching. The job specification, I think, is going up on the website, so we'll tweet that out later. But
if you know anyone, it's a fantastic opportunity that for a fast growing academy, isn't it? Being part of Bromley Football Club.
That's incredible. The amount of staff that are involved in that academy operation now is.
But just wanted to touch on the trials as well. Sorry, Jeff. Is walking past doing sort of like bits and pieces around the ground. Just the calibre of player that we're getting in now. It's really exciting times for Bromley with talent like that coming through at sort of like what 15, 16 years old and getting under the wing of sort of like Mark Hammond and the coaching staff and being able to mould them and developing into sort of like athletes. And footballers.
Yeah, I saw the process. They didn't just come and go in the dressing room, get changed, and start playing football. They had a video presentation beforehand, I think, and obviously Neil Smith, first team manager, was there. And they actually spoke with them as well.
Current academy students as well, telling them about their experiences, which was obviously really useful to hear it firsthand. Like you say, they had a presentation, they had the talks from the management and Mark Hammond, etc. And it was really, really nice to see. It was a really streamlined process, and great to see so much talent out on the pitch.
Obviously, talking of Neil Smith, Matt, you managed to catch up with him earlier. I think you've caught up on a wide range of subjects, starting with Maidstone, obviously, but also discussing the academy trials.
Neil, so it was a fantastic performance and result last week against Maidstone. Presumably that gives everyone the confidence ahead of a tough trip tomorrow.
Yeah, we were, you know, obviously the result was amazing, but it was the performance as well that we did it in. I thought we were very commanding. I thought everyone played their part. You know, there was no individual that was outstanding. They were just as a collective group, very, very good, very solid, and then free-flowing going forward. But we know it's going to be another tough game going away to Hartlepool, and, you know, we don't expect anything less.
And it should be a good game of football, too. Sides that are in form and getting good results and playing good football at the minute.
Yeah, you know, they obviously got a great result against Bournemouth last Saturday, and then we went and watched them Tuesday against a very, very strong Ebbsfleet side, and they're very robust. They stay in the game and they, you know, they do try and counter on you, but you know, we've looked at them, we've watched them, and we think we've, you know, we can get at them and find a weakness. But it's going to be tough away from home at a big side like Hartlepool, you know, ex-league club and everything that goes with it. So we've got to make sure that we're prepared to our best and give it the best chance we got.
Presumably the camp must be buzzing and raring to go for this.
Yeah, absolutely. The training, especially with the sun out today, the training was on point. You know, we've not left anything out there, and we've got to go there full guns. And you know, and a special word goes to the supporters as well. Last week was amazing, you know, in front of 2,000 plus being our supporters, and we know we're going to get a good following going up to Hartlepool. And you know, we, as I've said before, we want to make sure they come back on that train feeling proud of what they've just witnessed.
And going away from first team matters slightly, there's academy trials going on just in front of us now. Great to see so much interest in the future of this club.
It's brilliant. You know, as I said, when I walked through the door some 8 years ago, and you know, we had a small academy, 30 kids, you know, I was coaching on it, a little academy that we were trying to produce players from, and we did with Jordan Higgs. But now, you know, Mark Hammond's taken it to another level, 200 plus kids. We've now got girls as well. The girls trials were last week as well, which is phenomenal for this place. And it's a club that's trying to bring everybody in the community to here. We want to be the hub of things, and you've got trialists going on now, and I think we've had over 100 and odd trialists, and we're looking for the best kids we can, obviously give them an education as well, to produce our own players.
Well, Neil, best luck for the game tomorrow, and we'll catch you afterwards.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure as always to hear from manager Neil Smith there. Up next in the podcast, we've managed to catch up with Adam Mecky.
Yeah, Adam, a very unfortunate man this season. He obviously had an injury in pre-season, which kept him out for a while, came back, unfortunately got sent off in his first game back, and then more recently has obviously had the double injury against Eastleigh. So he's had a bit of a tough time of it this season. But when he came back from his original injury, he was playing really, really well, got into the side, was scoring as well. Yeah, and what a fantastic guy he is as well. And obviously, we did catch up with Sean a couple of weeks ago, and there was some slightly positive news, but we've got more of an update on that thanks to Cookie, as you caught up with him earlier this week.
It's good to be joined by Adam Mecky. Adam, after the incident that happened at Eastleigh, it's fantastic to see you back, and progress looks well.
Yeah, so it's been... again, it's been a bit of a rough few weeks, but we're ahead of schedule. We've seen some specialists, myself and Sean, and things are going really well, and I'm ahead of schedule. So, fingers crossed, if things keep happening the way they've been happening, I should be back in no time.
Fantastic. And obviously, just go back to the Down AC. I know it's not something you want to revisit too much, but you went in for a challenge, and the opposition player what connected with your knee. And was it the way you went down? Just tell us about it.
So yeah, it was more just one of those coming togethers, really. It's just unfortunate. It was my standing leg, it's a bit lower than my knee, above the ankle, and yeah, it's one of those where you just, it happens in football, and 9 times out of 10 you can sort of just limp away and get on with it. But unfortunately, this was the 1 out of 10 where it connects with you and something gives.
And obviously the damage was not just a broken fibula, but also a dislocated ankle. And to be honest, when I was on the pitch with you, I don't know how much you remember of it, but how brave you was. Do you remember much of afterwards?
Yeah, it was one of those where I was more in shock than I was in pain, and I knew straight away that I'd broken my leg. I just felt it, and I knew something was up, and sort of lay on the ground. I was like, here we go, just more bad luck coming my way. But I just want to say, yeah, big thanks to all the staff that helped me and got me safely to the ambulance, and so it's been a long process, but we're at the start, and I'm prepared to sort of do the work and get back to being on the pitch.
Fantastic. And just to go back to it as well, obviously the operation, you had an operation, sorry, that required you to have a plate drilled into your fibula. But now, obviously, that's still in there. You have the option to take it in the future, I understand. But you're out of your cast now. You're in a boot. So it shows the progress is being made.
Yeah, so at the time we're doing this, it's just short of 4 weeks post-surgery. I had a plate put into my fibula, and I had sort of a tight rope material that's put into my ankle to sort of hold it together. Both of those can be permanent, or they can be removed at any point if it is a problem further down the line, but it's one of those where it shouldn't be a problem. That's sort of the extent of the injury, and today I'm in training, and today was my first day sort of properly. I'm back on my feet now a bit, and I started swimming today, which is good progress. So little milestones every sort of week or so keeps me going and keeps me motivated.
It's a good day to catch up with you then, if this is the first day back. But even just going back to it, what was it, 2 weeks after you come back to see the lads, you was already over the gym doing some upper body work, so obviously you're not letting the injury get the better of you.
No, it's something that the club have really sort of knuckled down on. They really wanted me to keep on top of sort of my body weight and my strength and keep me in shape, so that come the rehab stages when I'm back on my feet, it should be just purely focusing on the actual injury and not sort of having to get myself back fit and back in shape. So yeah, it's something that the club have come down on. I'm in the club sort of twice a week at the moment, working hard and working with the physio and the fitness coach and just to maintain the level, and hopefully over the summer I can get myself sort of pre-season ready and come back ready to go.
That's fantastic. Adam, we wish you the best, and we'll be keeping an update on your progress. Thank you very much.
Brilliant, thank you.
Great job there, Cookie, catching up with Adam Mecky. A big thanks to Adam for giving his time as always. Great to hear him towards the end of that positivity, talking about pre-season and wanting to come back feeling stronger. I'm sure that's great news for everybody listening. Matt, we're going to move on next to the community scheme and our soccer school. We've just finished the February half-term week, and it's been another busy one.
It has indeed, and just a massive thank you to the coaches, Callum, Matt, Dan, Marshall, and I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting one as well.
Joe,
yeah, of course. Big thank you to all of them. They've been absolutely phenomenal this week. The numbers have been brilliant. It's been sunny for most of the week. We managed to get the soccer camp out on the stadium pitch on Wednesday. They got to meet the first team on Tuesday. It's been a brilliant week, and thanks to everyone who's signed their children up or to who's brought them along. It's been fantastic.
And talking of first team involvement, Matt, obviously Mark Anthony Okoye stayed behind to hand out the medals and certificates. Fantastic to see involvement from the first team players as well.
Yeah, it is. It's brilliant. And Mark is a real he's like a snapshot of what this football club's all about. He's great with the kids. He really wants to be involved with it, and he realises there's more to it than just the football. It's great to see.
That's it. And Matt, you catch up with him and hear what he had to say.
So Mark, a trip to Hartlepool, and then we've got March coming up. We've got a lot of games in March.
Yeah, I think with how we've been playing recently, like, as I said previously, the confidence, the atmosphere around the club right now is amazing, and we're confident against whoever we're coming up against with the way we're playing, that we're battling for each other as well. So yeah, hopefully a month of great results for us.
And is that something you relish as a player? Obviously not much time to rest. Tuesday, Saturday, a lot in March, a lot of games coming up.
No, definitely. I think especially when you're winning, it makes it a lot easier. But again, if we individually make sure we do our jobs and what the gaffer's drilling into us to do, we'll have good results. But as I said, when you're winning Saturday, Tuesday, you can throw in a Thursday if you want. We wouldn't mind, as long as there's 3 points.
And you've been in fantastic form recently. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling good. Playing in my position. I'm enjoying it. I think I'm developing. Even though the season's coming to an end, I still feel like I'm learning. And again, I've got great boys around me, especially in the back four, Woody, Jack, Goodman when he comes in, Brindle, Roger Johnson as well. And we're all, you know, pushing each other to become better until the end of the season.
And last week, obviously, a fantastic performance against Maidstone and a clean sheet. Could you ask for much more as a defender?
No, definitely not. I think for defenders, that's what we kind of strive off, the clean sheet. And I think the boys appreciate us a lot more when we're doing our job. It makes it a lot easier for them. Little bit more pressure for them as well, but it's good to know we can get a goal ahead, you know, and ride out the whole of the game with a clean sheet if we need to.
Listeners may hear a little bit of background noise. You've just been handing out the awards to the soccer camp kids. Great of you to come down. How's it been?
It's been good. We've been training and they've been literally right beside us. We've been seeing them running around and everything. And the main thing is that they've all got a smile on their faces. So credit to the coaches as well, who are doing fantastic things. And yeah, it's amazing. It's just bringing back some great memories for me.
There's a lot more to the club than just the first team as well, isn't there? There's a lot going on here.
Definitely. Off the pitch, on the pitch, as you've seen with all the young boys coming in on their holidays, and you know, at least they get to go back to school and talk about how much fun they had in the holidays as well.
And Mark, thanks for being a part of that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Absolutely love Mark Anthony. Like you say, Matt, I think typifies a lot of what this football club's about at the moment, the community and like you said, the involvement that the first team have and the one club. It's been absolutely brilliant. It's an absolute breath of fresh air, and to see the look on all the kids' faces when they're getting their medals and certificates here, I mean, from Mark, and obviously all looking up to him because he's 6 foot or whatever.
Huge,
but
yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Moving back to First Team Affairs, obviously Saturday we're on our way up to Hartlepool. Matt, you've got a lowdown on our opposition.
Indeed. So they are one place below Bromley in the table in 13th. They have the same amount of points, which is 44. However, they have played a game more than us, so we do have a game in hand over them. Obviously, we beat them 4-0 here at Hayes Lane earlier this season, which was a fantastic performance. I think that was back in November. Recently, under their new manager Craig Hignett, they've picked up a little bit of form, beating Braintree Town, drawing against Leighton Orient, smashing Boreham Wood 4-0, and also drawing away to Ebbsfleet. So they are actually unbeaten since a 3-1 defeat to Harrogate even on the 19th of January. So a side that's also playing good football at the minute and getting good results, much like ourselves.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the form table says. Are they above us or below us?
I think they're below us. Speaking of form, they've signed Nicky Kabamba on loan from Havant Waterlooville, but strange transfer. He's actually scored 5 goals in his last four games.
But they lost, didn't they?
Heavily, 6-2. They were 1-0 up as well. It was at Fylde, and they were 1-0 up, and they lost 6-2. So.
Long way to go on a Tuesday night, isn't it? But just talking about Hartlepool, obviously I went up there solo last year. It was a...
Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was an injury. Well,
I
went with the team.
team went with you.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, team went with me. Media duties, I was on my own, sorry. It was... it was difficult because we had thoughts more on the FA Trophy, didn't we? So with that, but we obviously, I think.
Sorry, spectator alert. Just so everyone knows, he won't be commentating on his own Saturday. Matt will be with him Saturday, so he can tune in this week.
No, exactly. Yeah, if you want to listen, I think obviously we had eyes on the FA Trophy as well, and the rearrangements with Spenny Moore that was being messed about with previous last season. But obviously, we went 1-0 down. Joshua scored just on the edge of half time, took it to 1-1, and then unfortunately in the second half they just nicked a second and beat us. Wasn't really deserved. I think it was a draw last year, but it's going to be interesting. But the ground for the 15-20 fans that travelled last year, the ground is stunning. It's obviously an ex-football league ground. It looks lovely. The view from the media bench when you get there tomorrow with me, Matt. You've got a lovely view of sort of like the North Sea with one of the old sort of like battleships in the distance. Well, so it's a really nice ground to go to, and they're all friendly.
I've got visions of you, Cookie, actually memories. Obviously, you were solo. I did offer to help out remotely, just sitting in my car doing goal tweets and trying to determine actually who scored the goal because you weren't sure, were you?
I don't remember why I missed that one. I don't know. Anyway, talking about how many. You said 20-odd. Was that Tuesday night?
Yeah,
Tuesday night. This is a Saturday, so it's going to be interesting to see how many Bromley fans you take. There is a direct train, isn't there? That's a Hartlepool thing. Some people are going via York or Darlington or whatever, I think. So, yeah, we'll play our weekly game of... What is it? How many you reckon? Oh, I've got to insert the audio a bit.
Yeah.
How many you reckon?
What do we reckon?
What, attendance generally or just Bromley fans?
I'm going to ask them both.
Okay. I reckon there is going to be an attendance tomorrow of 2,140. And I reckon there's going to be 56 Bromley fans making the trip.
Cookie?
62 Bromley fans. And I reckon total is going to be 1,781.
Wow. I'm going to go for 74 Bromley fans. I'm going to go for a crowd of 2,679.
Boom.
Yeah. I suppose you probably do score prediction as well. Other than a Bromley win, what do you think the score's going to be?
How many goals are you reckon?
Oh, I'm going to go a sneaky 1-0 win. JJ Hooper to score.
Really?
Oh, good show.
The informed man, yeah, could be. I'm going to say 2-1 to Bromley.
No, I was going to say 2-1.
Are you going to change it or are you going to stick with
it? No, I'm going to stick with it.
I'm going 2-1. I'm going to take the lead, concede, and then win the game later on. Yeah,
and I'm going to go with JJ Hooper and George Porter tomorrow.
Copycat.
Ports, yeah. For those who aren't attending the game, guys, how can they keep up to date?
So we'll obviously be doing the normal Twitter updates over at Bromley FC on Twitter, and we're also going to be doing live commentary hosted by myself and Cookie. That'll be on air from about 2:50, so 10 minutes before kickoff, and you can find all the details tomorrow on the website, and we'll also be posting links on the social media as well.
Absolutely brilliant. I think that's about all we've got time for this week.
Pretty much.
Big thank you to everybody who's tuned in, listened, downloaded our podcast as always. Big thank you to Crown Ash Developments for their continued support. We'll be back again this time next week, I guess.
Indeed.
Before we play...
Boreham Wood at home.
Desperately looks for a fixture list. Oh, is it Boreham Wood at home?
It is Boreham Wood at home.
Glamour tie. They'll bring a load, don't they?
No.
Be interesting. always good games, though.
They are.
Always good games against them. I will always still flash back to Bradley Goldberg scoring that winner against the Blackney Conference South days when we were going for the title.
I'm visualising the run through on goal and just the tense. That
what
felt
a through
like
ball,
hour.
Though. Tell me who played the through ball.
I can't remember.
Jack Holland, mate.
Oh, brilliant.
Jack Holland crossed over halfway line. He just played it off. It was.
Football.
I can see it now. Anyway, big thank you as always to Matt and Cookie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like we said, we'll be back again next week. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley.